AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Don't sweat the technique. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter says, I wish this show was in Spanish. Well, if you turn it over to Mega, you can listen to the simulcast in Spanish. What number on the dial is Mega, Brian?
I think it's 101, right?
There you go. Listen, turn it over to 101. You'll hear us in Spanish. 713-780.
And I'm Mexico.
HRP listener line. So we simulcast in Spanish. How did you not know that, Texter? There's seven different things I want to get to about this Rockets game. We've hit one.
I know it. I'm with you.
We've hit one. We might have to go 3 extra hours today. We might have to do a little bit of
roll, Chief.
three extra hours. You good until 9?
No, I'm not.
We'll have to clear that with Glenn.
I mean, Rockets matter more than soccer matters.
Don't tell that to Glenn.
7137.
Don't tell that.
Do you disagree?
I don't disagree. The guy after us is going to disagree.
Does game four matter more than soccer matters?
Glenn Davis's eyes.
That's what the question. I'm not asking you from Glenn Davis's eyes. I know from Glenn Davis's eyes. I'm asking from Brian's eyes, Joel Blank's eyes, the Hive's eyes. 713-780-3776. Game four matters or soccer matters?
Oh, there's no doubt game four matters.
But certainly we're not working for free.
We're not working for free.
Glenn Davis will be here at 6. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. James, big game James, you're in the high. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to chime in on the Rockets like everybody else. I know it's no great revelation, but free throw shooting on this team is atrocious. I can't believe that we don't have – anybody hardly on this team that can hit free throws. It's like every time they go to the line, we're almost begging them to please make it. And when Golden State goes to the line, it's like it's automatic. Mm-hmm. They're going to make theirs. I think this would be a completely different series. We'd probably be up 3-1 in this series if we could just hit free throws. And it's gotten so bad that, I mean, now we're just hack a shack with Steven Adams to get one of our better defensive players out of the games because we can't make free throws. And I think it's just become blatant obvious that we need somebody like a Kevin Durant or somebody like that this next year. Because I think if we had probably had him, I mean, this series would be completely different. And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that last night and saying Jalen's going to be a Phoenix Sun. I just think that the Kevin Durant talk, giving up a Jalen is a very big commodity to give up to get a couple years of Kevin Durant, in my opinion. I think you got to get better for Jalen's contract if that's the way you're looking at doing it. I don't disagree with the free throws. I think I've been harping on things that I've noticed all season long with this team and watching them night in, night out, and that is they have a tough time closing games. They don't make their free throws, and they make mistakes that young teams make no matter how good their record has been, and I was interested to see how it would translate in the playoffs. There's no question, and we talked about it before we even got into the playoffs, to say you can't miss double-digit free throws night after night and expect to win in the postseason. It's exactly what's going on. You look at game after game, we're like, well, yeah, I think it was after game one, we're like, well, you certainly can't keep missing 9-10 free throws a game. Well, yes, you can, because they keep doing it.
They missed 12 free throws last night in a three-point game. 12. There's 30 teams in the NBA, last time I checked. Guess where the Rockets ranked in free throw percentage this year? Because I was wondering, is this only a playoff thing? Is this kind of melting the moment, like all that? Guess where the Rockets, out of 30 teams, ranked in free throw percentage this year?
21.
30th. Or, yeah, 30th.
Dead last. Mm. Dead last. DFL. Dead last.
Yeah, the only thing this was cheating because I watched the TNT broadcast last night, and the only thing they mentioned more than the fact that Fred won a title in 2019 was the fact that the Rockets were dead last in free throw percentage.
See, I watched TNT too. I didn't even hear that.
Oh, they mentioned it so many times.
It's my ADHD right there. A lot of people were banging on Reggie Miller last night. He was saying Shangoon, by the way.
A lot of people hack up his name.
Yeah, it's actually very easy to say.
Charles Hammers.
What you have to do is not look at his name. Just remember how it's said. Yeah, and Shin don't Goon. Look at the spelling. Yeah, yeah. Shin Goon. Yeah. Like, it's pretty. It's Shin Goon.
Yep.
Pretty simple. But they, people look at the spelling, and then they kind of get, like, second thoughts and whatever. A lot of people are just now on the text line. They're like, what are you guys talking about? Alpi was terrible yesterday. 12 of 28 for Alpi. 31 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Didn't turn it over, which is very un-Alpi-like. Was 7 of 10 from the line, so, like, make more than that. But also, that's, I mean, 7 of 10 is better than 61%. Yeah. So he actually shot it better than the rest of the Rockets did. I thought Alpi was good, not great yesterday. And there were moments in the second half, late third, early fourth, where they were going to him offensively. He was scoring. You know, sometimes you'd miss him, buddy, of course. He needs to get better at finishing at the rim. But also would get his three-point shooters involved. Like, they were getting a lot of clean looks when they dumped it off to him in the post. And then the Warriors would double-team, kick it out, wide-open look.
I think it's fair to say he's the most consistent player in this entire series for the Rockets. He's been your leader for every single game. Yeah, Fred had his big explosion game last night, but Fred hasn't been consistent. I mean, he's a double-double every single night of the series for you. And we said going into the series, and both of us were on the same page with this, he had the most distinct advantage of any guy in this series on either team. He could take advantage of it better than anybody with what he had to go up against. And he's, for the most part, he's been doing that. Even when he's been off, or people are complaining about and we're pointing out how many missed shots around the basket and how many rush shots he took, he still has put up the most consistent numbers and double-doubles throughout the entire series.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Like, I do think he's – and I was very unhappy with Alpi in Game 3. I thought he freaked out. I thought he was way too quick with the shots. I thought he was taking ill-advised shots. I thought – and I've always thought that Alpi's not a great defender. And that's why they play zone with the double big, is because they know that Alpi can't defend the four. Mm-hmm. But I thought that – yeah, that's a good way of putting it. He has been their most consistent, I would say, offensive player in this series.
Well, but he's also getting a double-digit rebounds almost every game. I think he had 9-1 game, but otherwise he's had a double-double every game in the series.
Alpi left 35 points on the board. 35 points. But who else do you want taking those shots?
Say, and like, how many did some of the other guys leave on the board? Jalen's left plenty on the board.
Well, he only missed 5 shots.
Jalen. Right, because he doesn't take any. And he's not even on the floor.
Only played 25 minutes and didn't score in the second half. Like, who do you want shooting the ball? Like, I think going to Alpi in the low post, I don't love giving it to him in the high post. Going to him in the low post is very efficient, especially when Draymond's off the floor. Because he does score pretty well. Maybe not perfectly. Maybe he needs to improve. I'll give you that. But then a lot of times Golden State will send a second man, and you're getting wide open looks for Van Vliet. You're giving a wide open look for Dylan Brooks. Jabari gets a good look every now and then.
If Fred shows up in any one of the first three games the way I'm not saying he had to do what he had to do last night, but he just shows up at all better than he did in the first three games. You have an inside outside game presence with those two guys where you have the ability to capitalize on Alpi down low. And when they do start to double him, like they doubled Jalen after game two, and it's worked ever since, and Jalen's just curled up and crawled into a shell. But when Alpi gets doubled, you just kick it out to Fred. Yeah. You got a wide-open jump shot from a guy that's been consistent in his career and making jump shots. I don't want Tari shooting more.
No, I think it's their best offense.
Yeah, Amen.
Last night it was.
Was better last night, but Amen has not been great, and he's not a great shooter. You don't have a lot. The one that I keep saying that is underutilized is Dylan Brooks, because he consistently putting up good percentages both from the floor and from the three-point
line. But he's not really a great creator. Like, he's usually dependent on somebody else, and he's like, okay, well, who's the one making the play? It's either going to be Jalen, wasn't last night, or it's going to be Alpi. Like, Amen can create for others because he is good at getting to the basket. Like, he can get around and through defenders. There aren't a lot of players on this team that create for others.
No, there's not. But I also think that...
Or create their own shot. Like, Dylan doesn't create his own shot. Sometimes he'll bully ball you if you have a small on him.
Or
but
he'll
that's
quick
about
trigger
it.
You. Like, he gets it, and all of a sudden he just pulls a quick trigger that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
And he makes it more times
He's not beating you off the dribble ever.
Second chance points. He gets a lot of the kick-out threes.
Yeah, exactly. Like a little dagger three. Final shot. This was something that was a topic of conversation yesterday. A lot of people unhappy that it was Alpi with a little hook shot from just inside the free throw line. Here was Alpi after the game talking about the final shot.
You know, I could have go to rim. But that was Looney was down there when I saw him, so I was just turned and took my shot. You know, that's my shot. I'm making those through the years now, so just, you know, it's hurt. It's hurt, of course. It's hurt when you miss the game shot. So, but there's a lot to learn. I'm still young, you know. I'm gonna make those one day and get better and better.
No, just not yesterday. Here was Draymond Green on the final play.
you know, he likes the ISO right in the middle of the paint. So, you know, he started coming downhill. I gave a little ground. And Stack always tells us it's a time that you have to get serious. He says it's time to get, and you just try to pick that point, you know. I want to pick it too early where, you know, he's facing me. And now I'll pick up a cheap one, you know. So just try to find that sweet spot and where to get serious, as Stack says. And I thought I found a good spot. He took a deep jump hook.
It's coaching there. Get serious.
Yeah, there's of those,
get serious.
Of those two quotes, I don't know that I've seen Alpe knock down that shot with the consistency he's talking about from the free throw line.
Never. I hate that shot.
It's awful. Like, if he's inside the paint taking that shot, like within 5-6 feet, regular season, yes, I've seen you make a lot of those where you just kind of push it over the front of the rim. You can't push it over the front of the rim with touch because he doesn't have any. He's knuckleballing it from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Draymond did one hell of a job on that final play because he kept his verticality. He picked his spot and went straight up.
You don't think he got him with the arm at the belt?
I don't think they're ever going to call it either.
They're not.
But I thought that he went with just the way he was describing it. He picked his spot where he was going to plant and go straight up with his arm, and he was going to live with it. And I thought he did an outstanding job on that play.
I don't mind the play call. I really don't. Alpe had some success. Yes, he missed a lot of shots. But again, who's the creator for you that's on the floor? Like, Fred VanVleet isn't going to create his own shot very often. They're not going to let him get a good look at three. You're not going to Dylan Brooks. Jabari Smith had an ill-advised three a couple of minutes early, like very early in the shot clock, catch and shoot a three-pointer that he's 5 feet behind the three-point line. To me, that was the right play call. And he may talk later. He said, you know, we wanted a screen there for VanVleet to try to get the mismatch on Gary Payton, to try to get the switch there, and they took the screen away. I don't mind going through Alpe. I thought the play call was fine. It's the execution I didn't love. Like, Alpe had more time. Like, Alpe had more time to try to bang and get a little bit lower or closer to the rim. I didn't like the depth that he took the shot. I don't mind the play call. I wish Alpe would have gotten 3 feet closer.
Yeah, I think that at that point, he has to understand where he is on the court well enough to know that he can get Draymond off the dribble. He can get Draymond with his footwork and his quickness where he could have gotten closer to the basket. And a lot of times he throws up shots that look like they don't have a chance of going in, but they bounce around the rim and he's got a soft enough touch that they can still fall in. That thing from straight on, because Draymond's right, that's where he likes to go, straight down the middle of the lane. But he's far better when he picks a side and he could use his footwork. And I thought he rushed it. And it was obvious because Jimmy Butler had time to make two free throws and VanVleet still had 4 seconds to get up and down, and make a shot. So that means they didn't use enough time.
Yeah, I think he took it with like close to 10 seconds. Mm. Like he took it pretty dang early. Yeah,
Jimmy
he didn't
Butler
need to hurt. He
didn't one hell hurry. Of a rebound too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And the other part of like trying to get a little bit closer is now you're trying to draw help off of Adams where it opens up Adams to get an offensive rebound. I think that's the big reason why they called that play is because earlier in the game, Alpe would get into the paint. They would have a help side defender leaving Adams all alone under the basket, and they would get some cheap offensive rebound, second chance points. And I think that was in
Ime's
mind.
You do want to leave a couple of seconds because if he gets the offensive rebound, you don't want him putting it back.
But
you assume there's someone.
Well, I don't mind Adams around the rim.
But I would say that more times than not, you want him to get the offensive rebound. Everybody's congested in the lane, and you get an easy kick out for a wide open look to chance to to win the game.
It depends on what the situation looks like. And plus, they would probably foul Adams. It was only a 1 point game, but I mean, they were fouling Adams throughout the entire game whenever they had a chance.
I honestly think that Ime lost the game when he took Adams out last night.
All right, let's discuss that on the other side. 713-780-ESPN. Pulling Adams, right call. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. That call, questionable, but Ownwell is always the right call. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of cost, and Ownwell's here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but also save you some money. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and it should not be the Hive. It shouldn't be you. You shouldn't overpay on your property taxes. So head to ownwell.com right now and sign up in less than 3 minutes. That's all it takes. It takes 3 minutes, probably quicker because you guys are smart and you guys are intellectuals and you're sophisticated. So you're probably doing this in less than 3 minutes. So less than 3 minutes at ownwell.com, and their experts will be fighting for you. Their cutting-edge technology is going to start saving you money, potentially, with no upfront cost. 86% of Ownwell's customers receive a reduction, so you're probably going to save money. And the average customer saves over $1,100. Did I tell you there's no upfront cost? So what are you waiting for? This is all reward. There is no risk. The only risk is less than 3 minutes of your time. Only pay if you save. You can't beat that. Omo levels the playing field. They eliminate the concern of paying too much on property tax for you and for me. Now, the deadline to protest May 15th. It's a couple of weeks now, so don't forget. Do it now. Head to ownwell.com and save money on your property taxes. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start that protest today at ownwell.com. It's O-W-N-W-E-L-L, ownwell.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD. 97.9 HD2.
They got us into the bonus by taking the fouls and get him out and bring him back in when it's under 2 minutes. So they can't be as aggressive defensively. They built up the fouls and Albert was rolling. Some guys were playing well. Our man obviously there, and so wanted to go with that lineup. Take Steven out and get him back when it's under 2 minutes.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
That was Ime Udoka after he pulled Steven Adams. They went Haka Adams, fouled him, got into the bonus. Ime took Adams out of the game. Poor free throw shooter. Didn't want him going to the free throw line every single possession. So Adams left the game for Jabari Smith at the 425 mark. Rockets were up by 1 point, 98-97, whenever that happened. Adams came back in the game at the 155 mark. The Rockets were down by 3 points whenever he returned, 104-101. So you think that this decision cost them the game? You would have left Adams in?
I would have. I thought that it was he made one of two, I think, the last time he was at the line. And when you look at just from an analytical perspective, per possession, if you can at least get 1 point out of it, then it's not a loss. It's actually a positive. But overall, looking at the way he was affecting, look, Golden State somehow, some way, was getting all the second chance points until Steven Adams was in the game. Steven Adams was affecting the game. We know his physicality. He's a force inside. I thought he was a huge positive factor for them getting that lead in the fourth quarter. When they took him out, I just felt like it opened up even more doors for Golden State to continue to get offensive rebounds, second chance. Podemski and everybody else was just flying through the lane and picking up Buddy Hield, getting offensive rebounds. And it was extremely frustrating to me, and I felt like that was a coaching moment where I thought that Kerr forced Udoka's hand by going to the Haka Steve to see how he was going to react, hoping that Ime would do exactly what he did. And I thought it negatively affected the Rockets.
I think the 1 point per game is light, 1 point per possession. Yesterday in the game, they averaged 1.05 per possession. But on the year, it looks like they were closer to like 1.14 per possession.
Okay.
So if he splits, that would be less than their point per possession.
Right, a little less. But at the same time, from a Daryl Morey perspective, even when they were doing the Haka Dwights and contemplating doing the Haka Shaqs, if he was making one of two, they were cool with it.
But you're losing points in the long run.
If he continues to do that. Now, who's to say he's going to miss, you know, one of two every time? You don't know. But I thought that there were times when he went to the line last night that I actually felt like he was okay. Like, I had more confidence in him to where, you know, the other night, the game three, Alpi, I had no chance. I just basically had no chance in anything of thinking he was going to make free throws.
I mean, you have an idea of what he's going
to
do.
I don't know how long they were going to be able to do that either.
And into the two-minute mark.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get to the two-minute mark, and then it's a different story anyway. But I just felt like that was the wrong time to take Steven Adams out of the game.
He's under 50% on the year, Adams. So, I mean, I think Golden State's obviously playing the odds there. Like, from an analytical point of view, Golden State's saying you average
analytics.
Thank you, Cully. I mean, Golden State's telling you that they average more than 1 point per possession, and Adams is going to give you less than a point per possession. That's why they do it.
But
that's why you may pull him out. Like, the analytics are saying that they should foul him because Adams is going to get you less points.
I think that the way that game was going and the way he was impacting that game, I think that Steve Kerr did that solely because of the fact that he was having an impact. If he wasn't having an impact, I don't think Steve Kerr would even have resorted to that.
He's done it in every game that Adams has been on the floor.
I just feel like in that situation, I would have left Steven Adams on the floor.
See, I could go either way on this. I do think that Adams was getting fatigued, though. Like, Adams did look like he was getting a bit tired. I thought it was a decent time to, like, okay, let's regroup here for the final 2 minutes. For the next 2.5 minutes, they're going to foul you every single time up the floor. We average more than a point per possession. If you split two free throws, we're getting a point per possession. It felt to me like a natural time to get Steven Adams off the floor so he could get a breather for the final 2 minutes. I didn't have an issue with Ime taking Adams out at that point.
I hated it. I personally, that's fine, and I'll live with what I said because I believe it. I just believe on both ends of the floor that I thought that he was a huge positive impact for the Rockets, and I felt like Steve Kerr was very aware of Steven Adams impacting the game.
Isn't he also very aware of his free throw shooting too, though?
Maybe so, but I'm just saying more so than maybe, and I think what was it the game that he and Jabari almost single-handedly brought him back was game one, where they really played well in the third quarter, third into the fourth. I felt like he was having that kind of impact the way he was on both ends of the floor. I thought that he was a presence, and I thought it really hurt him.
Texture, you're not losing points if you're preventing second chance points. I mean, Rockets play zone whenever they use the double big, which makes them susceptible to giving up offensive rebounds. So, I mean, Adams was very good yesterday. I would love for Adams to play 30 minutes every game the rest of the series. Hopefully there's more. He played 26 yesterday. You wanted to keep him on the floor, he would have been at 28.
I understand. But, I mean, I don't think consistently every night I can expect to get – look, he was gassed after was it game one where he played 25-ish, and Ime said he went too far with him?
I feel like you're contradicting yourself a little bit here.
Okay, fine.
Like, I mean, you wanted him to stay in the game, but you're saying he can't play more than 26 minutes.
I don't think – every single game of the series, you can rely on him for and get 26 to 30 minutes out of him. I think you have to pick your spots with him. I think last night, yes, I would have gone longer with him because of the fact that you in this spot that I'm picking, he's playing his tail off, yeah. And he's helping your team.
It was unfortunate because he was playing very well. If you go look at the I just had it up here, the play-by-play after they took Adams out of the game to like see what they lost while Adams was off the floor. They actually hit a three on the very first offensive possession that Steven Adams was off the floor. So, like, you wouldn't have had that chance to even take a three because they would have kept fouling Steven Adams, right? Like, they would have fouled him. You wouldn't have had the Fred VanVleet three. I think it would have put him in the bonus because I think the next one would have put in the Rockets in the bonus. Does that sound right to you? I think they were one away from the bonus, and that's why he took him out there. Because if not, he wouldn't have taken him out yet. He would have waited until they were one away from the bonus.
Yeah, they started doing it to try and make sure that they got into the bonus, and he definitely pulled him out before he had a chance to shoot free throws.
So the few possessions while Adams was off the floor, very next offensive possession for the Rockets, Fred VanVleet hit a three. So that's advantage Rockets there. Jimmy Butler made a 2-foot layup with Adams off the floor. That's a huge disadvantage to the Rockets because Steven Adams is your best rim protector by far. Next possession for the Rockets, Alpi missed a driving floating jump shot. I can just imagine what that looked like. The Golden State possession was a Buddy Hield three. So I don't know if Adams played a factor into that one. I have to go back and watch the possession. Rockets then take a timeout, and that's the Jabari Smith 24-foot three with 10 seconds on the shot clock. You remember that shot?
Yes.
That drove me nuts.
The only thing that drove me nuts more was his live ball turnover where he got the ball coming up from the free throw line and just assumed someone was back there and turned and threw it out of bounds.
That was annoying too.
Oh.
But like, I want Jabari to shoot more, but that's not the shot, Jabari.
No,
like,
not.
That's a catch and shoot three from 5 feet behind the 3-point line with 12 seconds left on the shot
that's
clock.
That's the biggest thing. You had 12 more seconds to get a better look, and we always talk about pass up a good shot to get a better shot.
Yeah.
That was a bad decision.
And they were going zone there, so I know the mentality. I know the thought process there. I just thought it was a bad one that early. Because you can get that shot with 3 seconds on the shot clock. You don't need to do it with 12. So Jabari missed there. Pods missed a three on the other end. Offensive rebound, Adams would have helped there. But then Hild missed a three, so it didn't cost you. Mm-hmm. Would have helped you get the initial board, but he missed another three. So you didn't give up points there. Fred VanVleet got blocked by Pods.
Oh, from behind. Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad. And then Jimmy Butler made a driving layup. So I think looking at the play-by-play probably is an argument for your point of view here.
Yeah, because, I mean, you go back and look right before that when we were talking about how he was affecting the game. His two blocks on Draymond were outstanding. Or Draymond and Jimmy. He got one of each. The one, the volleyball block, where he went up with two hands and got Draymond after Draymond beat Şengün off the dribble. And he came over from the weak side and absolutely stuffed it. And then Butler got inside. And he got it with one hand and threw it out of bounds to where, you're right, he was their only last line of defense inside the paint.
I agree with Blank here. You're letting Kerr win by pulling Adams off the floor there. His defense and rebounding value outweighs his free throw shooting. Let's play out the scenario. Let's say they leave Adams off the floor, on the floor. And let's say that the fatigue doesn't come into play, which I think did come into play for the decision. But for the sake of the argument, I'm willing to pull that back. He's fresh. He's not tired at all. He goes 1-for-2 every single time up the floor. Do the Rockets still win the game? Or do the Rockets not still win the game?
Well,
do the Rockets win the game?
You know, it's hard to say because, I mean, we know what kind of shots that they were taking offensively. Otherwise, I think inside of 2 minutes, I don't think they would have continued to go with it. And I think that, so you can't really, but definitively, but do I think they would have had a better chance to win because of both ends of the floor? I do.
A lot of people think that they would have won the game. I don't think it cost them the game.
I can't say that they would have won the game. I think they would have had a better chance.
Second thing is, what if Steven Adams goes 2-for-6 on the 3 possessions he's still on the floor? What is the, and the Rockets lose. What is the narrative right now? Like, he leaves Adams on the floor, 3 possessions, they foul Adams every time. Well, he goes 2-for-6 from the line, the Rockets lose by 3, just like they lost by 3. What is the conversation about that decision at this very moment?
It would come up, but I think it would also depend on what Golden State did to get the win and get their offensive possessions. Because I think that if he was still the anchor on defense and or he was getting rebounds or doing things to affect shots,
yeah,
that it, I think you could make the defense of him still being on the floor, even if he went 2-for-6.
Does Rockets need to protest those late start times because it's past the bedtime of their young players? I think it would impact the older players more than the younger players. And, I mean, it's even though it's late here, it's not that late out there.
No, it's not.
Time zone stuff. You know, the time zones come into play with that sort of thing. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The people want us to discuss the officiating in this game. A lot of drama in yesterday's game. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Sarge says, listening to some of these Jalen Green narratives makes me think about a line from the great poet Jay-Z. Do you fools listen to music or just skim through it? Some of y'all ain't trying to talk basketball, y'all trying to go viral. Who do you think he's subtweeting here? We weren't talking about Jalen recently. He tweeted this 12 minutes ago, so I don't think it's us. I think we're off the hook.
I think
we're off the hook. And he was in the Golden State last night. Now he might be back. Could be back by today. It couldn't have been us. I don't think it was us.
Not us.
I don't think it was us. I mean, he could have, if he would have sent this an hour and 12 minutes ago, very probably was us. But 12 minutes ago, I don't think it was us. Because we haven't been talking about Jalen for the last 30 minutes or so.
No.
Right?
Look, I understand.
I don't think he's subtweeting us.
That guy likes to go to all the games.
Why don't you like Sarge?
There's plenty of reasons, Jeremy. But we don't need to get into them here. It's fun.
Well, I mean, I'd like to.
I know you would.
You said it's fine. I think I'm ready to have a little fun.
You've had him co-host
Jeremy's
when I've been out.
A pot stir.
I am, yeah, very much.
Drama.
I'm willing to admit that I am, yes. Yeah. I mean,
don't take shots at me indirectly.
What did he do?
Like, similar like that. I'm trying to explain it to you in more of a generic way. Don't take, you know, what was his hashtag all the time? About,
hear me out.
Hashtag Sarge.
Hashtag hear me out.
Hashtag Sarge.
After I had to have other people that actually spend the time to follow him say, oh, he's talking about you in his tweets without tagging me in them to basically act like he knew and was going back on something I said about a certain sports topic. And then I went to try and respond to him and realized that I had to follow him in order to do so. And that's the way he weeds out. And I was like, yeah, I'm out. I'm like, you do you be you, bro, but just,
oh, his tweets are, was it protected?
I think we should have him on as a guest. Yeah. That we all can hash
it
out.
You had him on when I was out one time.
Yeah, but that's not nearly as fun as you two having a little conversation.
Should we get him on as a co-host when Jeremy takes him off?
No,
time
I think we
summer?
Should. I think we should be. I would like to be here stirring the pot. I think
I
him as a
I
third chair.
Would like
okay.
That.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to avoid that kind of.
I can reach out on Twitter.
Unneeded.
Joel,
extra.
What is the one? What is the number one rule and the only rule of the Killer Bees? Entertainment first. Feelings, no.
This is your rule.
You're saying entertainment's not your number one rule?
No.
Why not? You're cheating the people.
I'm not cheating the people. I'm just, if I could just be honest and give my honest opinions on things.
You don't think it's cheating the people, though, whenever you rob them of high-level entertainment?
I'm not robbing them of anything. We can still get the high-level entertainment and get to that point. I'm just not looking for that to be my priority one.
I think it'd be highly entertaining.
I know you do.
So therefore, you're robbing the people of entertainment.
Okay.
You're putting your feelings ahead of the entertainment.
Okay.
All right. What did you think of the officiating in yesterday's game?
Look, they obviously let them play. I thought that for the most part, and it just kind of gave me flashbacks of when I actually worked for the team about how frustrated I would get from game to game with situations like this, even when it pertained to the Warriors. Draymond Green should have been ejected, okay? I don't want to sound like a homer here, but the only reason that they turned that second altercation with Tari into a flagrant was because they didn't want to kick him out of the game. And now they have a technicality that the officials can use if they forget or don't keep track of technical fouls enough to where in the past they would make a mistake, make a quick whistle, give a second technical, forget they gave him the first one and kick him out. If you want to say that he didn't deserve the first technical, okay, but you gave him the first technical. A flagrant is like going above and beyond in terms of, like, when you look at the definition of the rule, that wasn't a flagrant. That was a technical.
What? Why do you think they gave him a flagrant?
Because then you can have a flagrant one.
But what do you think he did that warranted a flagrant?
I don't think it was a flagrant. I think it was a second technical.
What do you think he did to warrant a technical then that was not called?
The fact that went from the grabbing of the jersey. And then okay. Whenever we have an altercation between two players like that, it's not a flagrant one.
I thought it could have been a flagrant for the trip. I thought it could have been a flagrant for the trip.
I thought that from grabbing the shorts and then, again, another altercation with another player. And then from there, they changed every way that they were trying to call the game. Then they all of a sudden started to try to tighten up. They let them play too loose for too long and then realized that it was so out of control that then they started trying to reel it in. But I just think that he has to have, at some point, an understanding of, I can't keep pushing it this far and realizing that they're never going to throw me out.
I don't think the officiating costs the Rockets the game. I don't like doing the whole blame the officials. Now, and this is a very difficult series to officiate. There's a lot of stuff happening off the ball that the officials aren't seeing and probably not even in their keys that are way more flagrant or technical worthy than like anything that happened there. My biggest beef with the Draymond Tari thing was that Tari got teed up. Like, I'm okay with anything that Draymond did not being a technical. The grabbing of the jersey, if you want to call that a T, totally understand. Does it need to be a technical? I don't think it needs to be a technical. Now, is it a flagrant because he tripped him? Yes, it's a flagrant because he tripped him. I don't know where Tari's technical came from there, though. Like, if you're going to call Tari for a T, then you have to call Draymond for the grabbing of the jersey of the technical. So I personally wouldn't have had either one of those been a technical. I wouldn't have had a Tari technical. I wouldn't have had a Draymond technical. I would have had a Draymond flagrant, two free throws, Rockets ball, move on. That would not have been a technical for me. The first, go ahead.
No, but to respond to that, my biggest thing is that's a double technical situation. If you call it on one, you have to call it on the other. Give them both the same thing. Therefore, after having one technical and a double technical with Tari, he should have been gone.
I would agree that if you're calling Tari for a technical, Draymond should have been called for a technical on the play. Personally, if I was reffing that specific situation, I wouldn't have had a technical period. I wouldn't have had one on Draymond. I wouldn't have one on Tari. The grabbing of the jersey, like that might constitute to one, and maybe it did because he had a prior. I wouldn't have called a technical there. I wouldn't have called a technical on Tari. Definitely have a flagrant. The first scrum was weird, too, because it was a foul on Dylan, which it was a foul on Dylan. Coming off the screen, Dylan bumps Steph Curry, foul there. Steph Curry falls to the floor, like taunts him with the two. We see way worse than that. That, to me, would have been a nothing either.
I don't think...
A nothing on anybody, period.
So my point being, what's called is called. I don't think that Draymond was worthy of a technical in that situation. If you want to call the double technicals on Curry and on Brooks, then so be it. But you gave Draymond that technical. That's in the box score already. So if he gets into a second one, because he's got to be smart enough to know, I already got one. Mm-hmm. I can't... So... If he's willing to take the risk, then he has to accept the consequence. And then when he grabbed the shorts first. Then when Tari came down on him, he grabbed the jersey. If you're going to give Tari the technical, he deserves the other technical. It's offsetting, but because he already had one, he should have been gone.
I'm with you on that. If you're going to call one way, it has to be both. If you let both, like, I'm cool with letting them both go there, though.
I agree with that, too. Okay. But then that's exactly how you should have handled it. But because now you're differentiating, going, he gets a flagrant, but you get a technical, that basically tells me you're doing what you need to do to keep him in the game.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I would have liked him to just not call either one. Mm-hmm. Flagrant for sure, because it was a flagrant, because he tripped him. The first altercation, I feel like they're over-officiating that a bit. Like, I mean, let them play on. Like, they're taunting each other. Dude, that happens every single play. Like, Steph Curry putting up the two as he lies on the floor while Dylan Brooks looks over him. That doesn't need to be a technical.
No.
Was it Dylan that got teed up for the Rockets there? What did Dylan do? He grabbed the ball?
But he aggressively went over and gripped the ball from him. But again, it's to the point you're making. If we, and again, we see more, the referees hear every bit of this last night. We get it the next day when people try to, like, read lips and catch audio mics to hear. With what's being said on the court on a possession-by-possession basis, if Steph gets one for telling him that was his second foul, and Dylan gets one in a playoff game for trying to get the ball back to the officials and ripping it out of his hands, then we're, again, wussifying the way that we're calling the game.
Yeah, I don't think that any of those plays should have been technical fouls. Just let them go at it. I mean, they're not pushing each other. They're not punching each other. So that's kind of my I don't think that either of those situations should have been upgraded to a technical or been called technicals, all that stuff. Texter, there was a play late where Jimmy Butler grabbed Adam's arm and twisted him down. Probably could have been a flagrant too. You remember that play?
Say it again.
There was a play down low where Adams was going for a rebound. Jimmy Butler was trying to box him out, and he grabbed his arm. He hooked and held him.
Like college basketball, that would have been a flagrant, too.
Yep. He hooked, and he held him, and he dragged him to the ground.
Kind of rolled, too, where you really could have separated your shoulder.
You don't see that called as much in the NBA. The college basketball is automatic. NBA, I can't remember a time where I've seen a hook and hold called a flagrant in the NBA.
Have you seen it?
Yeah,
no,
that's
I've never seen it.
No, it was absolutely should have been a foul. I can't remember if they called a foul in the play. I think they did.
But just a regular foul, yeah.
Right.
I'm sure it's happened, but I don't recall a moment. I watch Rockets and NBA playoffs, and that's all the NBA basketball I watch. I don't recall a moment where a hook and hold has been called in the NBA.
I can't ever.
College basketball all the time.
Yes.
NBA, I don't see it.
I don't see it at all.
Yeah. So that was, it was kind of dirty. It was definitely dirty. And then the other play that caught my attention was the Dylan Brooks, Jimmy Butler, where they're like, barking in each other's ear right before the free throw.
You go to the neck.
He grabbed them by the neck.
Sure did.
And look, they didn't see it. I get that they didn't see it, and I can understand it's a hard game to officiate. You're looking at other things. So I'm not even blaming the referees for missing it because they probably just didn't see it. But, man, that was pretty violent.
Oh, my God. It was blatant.
Wouldn't you think all – because they were going at each other verbally
right
literally
before.
10 seconds before that. Wouldn't your eyes be on those two guys? Because they're lining up for a potential rebound.
Yes. I would like to think if I'm an official and they're about to fight, that I'm probably watching them very closely.
Especially if you believe the lip readers to what Jimmy said to him.
Like, and I do. Yes,
yeah, and
I believe it.
Yeah, like he told him he was going to F him up. So, I mean, as a referee, my ears would have perked and I would have been watching to see if something happens.
Well, and they were saying one of the lip readings websites or on Twitter was trying to say that the referee, Bill, what's his name, got in the middle of it to say, "Are you saying that to me?" And he goes, "No, I'm saying it to him." And that's when Dylan started laughing. So he knew that they were heated and saying some pretty offensive things to each other.
It was one-sided, though.
No, Dylan instigated the hell out of it first.
He definitely poked the bear. No, I'm talking about the verbal when they're standing next to each other at the free throw line. Like, the initial provocation there was from Jimmy, and then eventually, after the laughter, like, Dylan kind of turned and got in his ear and said something, which I couldn't make out. But Jimmy provocated that back and forth conversation.
I disagree.
That might be the first time provocated in the NBA's ever mentioned the sanctions. I agree with that, too.
I think Dylan absolutely instigated that and started talking to him, which started the conversation, which then turned nasty, which was like me poking the bear. Jimmy had 6 points, and Dylan started to basically say, "You ain't got it tonight." And he was like, "I'm going to bust your ass." And from there, then it got even more heated. And all of a sudden, Jimmy went off in the second half. And I think that Dylan definitely knew what he was doing, and I think Dylan instigated that. And I don't think he should have, by the way.
I think we're going to have to go to the tape.
There might have been initial...
Don't go to the clip. Go to the tape. Go to when they started at the to get to their spots for the free
mark.
Throws.
I'll just pull up the play. I have a deal. I'll have it on the DVR. I can pull up the play. Yeah. I'll do it during the break. I always say I'm going to do it during the break, and I never do it during the break. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Rockets just landed at Hobby. Yeah, but Sarge doesn't travel with the team. Like,
no.
That's irrelevant. If entertainment is your number one rule, Branham, why are you still on the show? LOL. Touche. That's well played. Brooks touched Butler and gets called for three free throws, but Draymond touches Alpi at the end and no call. Look, I'm not going to blame officiating. It's just it's not my style. Unless you're Joe West and you don't call, you call makeup fan interference, then I'll roast you. That was a weak call for the way that this series has been officiated. Yep. Super weak. And I hated.
I heard
that the game was in a lot of ways determined based on that call.
Was it Jay Will or someone that said, "Oh, the thumb got to the groin area"?
No.
Come on, man. I mean, you had to look at like four different angles to find out, one, did he actually touch him? And two, how much force did he actually touch him with to alter the shot? Now, Jimmy basically embellishes enough with the way he jackknifes his body angle.
He kind of kicked his leg out.
He did, because I know that they were actually from a rock. Because I watched both. I watched live, I watched the TNT on that one, and then I went back and watched the Rockets this morning. The Rockets That's guys were trying to point out that Jimmy actually kicked his leg out to try and draw extra contact. When you look at it, you can say it would affect you. It'll affect you if you feel anything like that in that area while you're shooting a jump shot. But as loose as you called that entire game, and you know what happened in the Knicks-Pistons game where all officials are basically put on alert, you got to be – that's why that call was made.
I thought it was a letter of the law, I guess. But there's been far more that has been let go. Now, Uncle Jack brings up a good point. Brooks fouling Butler on that late three-pointer was stupid by Brooks to give the ref any chance to call anything.
True.
I will agree with that. Like, why are you closing out that hard late in the shot clock
That's
for
a
guy who's
Houston
not
play.
A great three-point shooter? So I do agree with that. I thought it was both things are true. I thought that they've let way more go in this series than that silly call. And then secondly, I did think it was a low basketball IQ play.
Yeah, Tari Eason that's the ones I'm always complaining about, fouling a three-point shooter in crunch time when you don't have to. With the shot clock running down. That was one where, and again, the difference between the two, Reggie Miller as a shooter saying that's affecting the shot, that's got to be called, whereas the Rockets guys are just saying, hey, look, the way this game has been officiated, that's a tough call to make. Even said he did hit him.
Letter of the law, he did put his hand and affect the shot. Letter of the law, it's a foul. They have let way more go in this series than that. Way more.
I do lean to that side, but I don't know. Like, a part of me is like, one, Dylan, it is letter of the law, you touched him. And two, especially since it's Jimmy Butler, not only because he's not a great outside shooter like you mentioned, Jeremy, but we know Jimmy will grift and try to get to the free throw line every single time you're in his zip code when he goes up for a shot. He's a guy that leans into contact. He'd done it several times earlier in the game. He does that all the time. So you got to know if you close out hard and put a hand on him, he's going to grift his way into some free throws.
It's also those two guys.
Yeah.
So they're paying extra attention. So they're probably going to call that.
That's a good point. The Butler's game annoyed me yesterday because he scored 27 points, 12 from the line.
He was
Don't foul him.
He did not miss from the line.
Did not miss.
He was money. When you talk about like part of being playoff Jimmy, to Brian's point, yeah, he finds ways to get to the line, but once he gets there, he ain't leaving without his points. He made all his free throws.
Don't foul the guy.
That's right.
Don't foul him. 713-780-ESPN. Fingertips grazing his abdomen is all that happened other than Jimmy kicking his legs out, says ZA. Yeah, I understand that perspective. You guys didn't mention the hard foul on Brooks immediately after the free throw jawing by him and Butler on the fast break where Jimmy was absolutely not going for the ball. That one looked a lot worse live than it did on the replay. Remember when they had Brooks. Brooks had the open lane. There was nobody in front of him. And then Butler fouled him from behind. It looks way worse
live. It did because of the landing and how he lost his balance and everything like that. But when you look at it, he made the basketball play of going for the ball and the arm in which the ball was in.
Yeah.
And they were trying to see if he did have the other hand on the small of his back, and he didn't. I thought they called that right.
I thought live it was an egregious miscall. I thought after watching the replay, I was like, yeah, okay, I can understand.
Were you surprised they didn't review it, though?
That I was surprised about, for sure, because you can't.
Given what had happened in this series and this game, that was my only surprise. Like, I agree with you. Like, seeing on a replay is like, okay, that's just an NBA hard foul. But I was surprised, given all that had happened, that they didn't review it.
Yeah.
Again, it might have been that it's those two guys. But at the same time,
if it's those two guys, you'd over referee it.
You should, but I was extremely surprised at the time. I was like, well, they got to at least look at that, because they always say on any, they called the foul, so the foul's called. Now they have the freedom to say, we're now going to review for a, whatever act?
Flagrant act?
It's not a, yeah, it's like that, but it's like to see if there was more. You can go and do that once you stop play with the actual, there was a foul called. Now we're going to review to see if there was anything excessive
on
top of that.
I think it's hostile act.
Hostile act. There you go.
Yes. Yeah, that's it is hostile act.
That's the term.
Yeah, I would have liked if they looked. I don't think they would have upgraded it, though. But I am surprised they didn't look at it. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Philip from the Woodlands, you're in the Hive. What's up, Philip?
Yeah, I'll mention one I haven't heard yet. I can't remember if it's game two or three, but there was a play way off the ball at the bottom of the screen when the ball is at the top of the screen. And the ball wasn't within 20 feet. And Draymond just takes his forearm, puts it to Fred's chest, and just walks and pushes him out of bounds for no reason. It's just strange. It cracked me up. I swear, I think I saw Fred laughing at the antics he was doing. Mm. But to me, when you do stuff like that, that ought to just be a technical foul. They got to call something. But reason I called is it drives me nuts through the Yao Ming stuff back with the Mavericks, or Mark Cuban says something about, Yao's leaving early on his screens, and all of a sudden the entire series changes because we got to put Yao in foul trouble for that half a second early he leaves. And then we build an entire dynasty in the NBA based on an offense that involves hooking, sticking knees out, driving people out of bounds to free up space for the shooters. That drives me nuts. But beyond that, I mean, you really got to have a double-digit lead with them. You can't let the game be close, or you're going to let the officials decide, even if you believe that it is the officials doing it. If you have a double-digit lead, take them out of the game, not let that be an excuse. But the reason I was calling was I would like to see, and maybe I may have thought of this or not, I don't know. I was watching the broadcast, the Warriors broadcast, guest hosting the TNT coverage, and they kept talking about Curry and how many miles he's ran. Why aren't we running him, doggedly, cutting left and right and under the back?
You're breaking up, Philip. Appreciate the call.
Next time, I wish Philip would actually tell us the reason why he was calling.
Don't be mean to Philip. Philip's a good call.
He had four different reasons he was calling.
It was a good call.
I didn't say it was a bad call, but come on.
I think you're a little frustrated how long Philip was talking.
It was long.
See? They're kind of hiding Curry, though. Like, I don't know if you can do that. I don't know if you can just run Curry ragged on the defensive end.
He's in as good a condition as any guy in the league, for one thing. But for another thing, they already know that teams are going to try and single him out. They're doing everything that they can to kind of bubble out on when the screens are set to try and get him a chance to recover as much as possible. But I don't think you can do – it's easier said than done. Let's put it that way.
Let's be honest. Like, Curry has had a reputation of being a really poor defensive player.
Oh, no doubt. He is a bad defender.
But he actually hasn't been that bad. There's been several – maybe this is just an indictment on Jalen and nothing else. But I know in game one, they matched up hunted with getting switches to put Curry on Jalen, and Jalen couldn't do anything with him off the dribble.
I think you're over – sensationalizing maybe two plays.
I'm just saying, when I've seen when they've tried to match up Hunt on Curry, it hasn't been the automatic bucket that I've been led to believe.
Yeah.
I think Phillip's point is a good one in the fact that Draymond's screen on Amen Thompson was illegal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I said that.
It was illegal. I mean, Podemski sends almost every time he sets a screen, he's leaning and he's forearming and he's pushing. It is a staple of the way that they set screens, and the league does look the other way. And I think a lot of what you heard and read and saw after the game, especially from a Rockets perspective, is like the Chiefs in football. Like, they're good enough that you shouldn't be doing them favors to let some of the things that people see that they let slide. Again, I don't want to blame the officials. The Rockets had plenty of opportunities last night, but I do think that there is a point that if you want to make a point of emphasis, the way Kerr manipulates to get the calls to go that way is if Ime went out in the postgame and said something to the effect of, I think at a certain point we need to start looking at the level in which they allow screens to be set, that would kind of flip a switch with the officials.
Yeah, I feel like they haven't called illegal screens at all in the series, and then suddenly they called them on the Rockets yesterday.
Well, yeah, and you know, he was lobbying before the series, like, if we're just going to let Steph get grabbed and pulled and yanked on every play, and he, and this was even before they were starting to talk about the Rockets, he was already, I said at the time, he's pulling a Phil Jackson. He's trying to manipulate the officials before we get there.
Yeah. All right, more people have thoughts on this. I had two questions from reporters yesterday that annoyed the heck out of me, too. And Fred VanVleet summed up my thoughts on this series perfectly. We'll discuss when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, sadly, it might be over here pretty soon. It might be over pretty soon for the pro basketball team in this city. So if you're looking for something to do with your week or your weekend, how about Two Creeks Crossing Resort? You can sulk, or maybe you can just move on with your life after your favorite basketball team gets eliminated. At Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. It's the best weekend idea. It's the best midweek idea. It's a great time to get away. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. We're going to be heading up there here in a few weeks. Open green spaces, wildlife, beautiful, majestic trees, and some of the best fishing in Texas. If you're a fisherman, you're a fisherwoman, you got to get out there. You got to get out there. You're going to love it. You're going to love your time. It's just 90 minutes from Houston. You don't have to pack up the car too much. You don't have to be on the road forever. You don't have to jump on a plane. No, it's just 90 minutes from Houston. You can be there in an hour and a half. Escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Hike their 92-acre property. You can kayak, pickleball. They have a pool. They have drinks. It's going to be a great time. And Two Creeks Crossing Resort loves to take care of their customers. They're always putting on something each and every weekend. Glamping, cabins, treehouses, or pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Save 20% right now on your next two-night stay, Sunday through Monday, on rentals for RV sites, yurts, cabins, and tents. Minimum two nights, max of five nights, midweek, Sunday through Thursday, 20% stay. So book now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. Book your getaway at twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.